says you can count on that from Misty Kimball Williams. Her heart is full of Christ. Her journey has been long, difficult, troubled, but she knows Christ, and she knows that through Christ, she can touch others. And in doing so, she has blessed this community. She has blessed this community so much because she reaches out in so many ways to so many people because she knows Christ is the Savior. Christ gives us strength and courage beyond what we've ever thought we've ever had. So I first set my eyes on Misty when she was quite young, had a young voice, here in this church, right here in this church. She left. When she came back, she found Christ again. Christ never left her side, not for 1 minute. I usually get real emotional, but I've asked God, please, not today. This community is a blessed, blessed community because of Misty Kimball Williams. She works at the hospital now and reaches out in many, many ways there to people of all kinds of concerns. Misty is the executive director of Mercy Road Recovery Center, and we're so blessed to have her on this journey with us and to travel with her as she reaches out to so many people. The other day she texted, she said, oh, you just can't believe how many people were here at our meeting. 17 people came to I Choose Recovery on Wednesday night. God is working here. God knows that Misty is the one that will lead people back to Him in a productive, healthy way. And so it gives me great, great pleasure to introduce my friend, Misty Kimball Williams.
Help. Help me, Jesus. That was a phrase I cried out to Jesus for over 22 years of my life while in and out of active addiction. I'm happy to say that today I am 8 years, 8 months, and 18 days delivered from my addiction. And when I walked in here today and I took in the smell of this church, yeah, it just brought me back to my youth. I grew up in the Methodist church across the street, but we always did vacation Bible school together with the Christian church. And so I just remember having a lot of great memories in this church, and the smell just brought all that back to me. The smell of this church never goes away. And that just makes me remember a really happy time in my life. So at the age of 13, I had my first drink of alcohol. I remember getting intoxicated and didn't think a lot about how that was going to affect the rest of my life. And I just want to say that, you know, I am an addict in recovery. I grew up in a wonderful home. I had great parents. It was nothing that they did or didn't do that caused me to choose to use drugs and alcohol to take care of myself. But at the age of 14, on April 18th, 1990, my
world was rocked in ways that I never thought were possible. I lost my aunt, my two cousins that day, and I didn't know how to deal with my pain. And I remember getting drunk for the first time and remembering how good that felt not to feel. And I was feeling things at a very young age that I didn't want to feel. A year prior to their deaths, I had lost another aunt that I was close to. And so alcohol became a weekend getaway for me. When never bad things happen, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when, and you have a choice to make. Either you're going to run to God or you're going to run away from Him. And I, at such a young age, I ran away. I didn't really understand that He wanted to have a relationship with me, and I didn't understand His love for me. And so I ran from Him. So at the age of 18, I started using drugs for the first time, and found a new way of not feeling. And that went on for quite a while in my adult life. I've had a lot of clean time and had a lot of time where I was active in addiction. I really want to speak most about the last few years of my active addiction. I'm a mother of five. I've married the same man three times. My dysfunction makes heavenly sense. It doesn't to a lot of people, but it does to me. My two oldest children, Olivia and Kimball Williams, they had to endure a lot of the stuff that I did whenever I was active in my addiction. And one of those things was having to take care of their little brothers, because I was too busy taking care of me when I really wasn't taking care of me. And my kids would plead with me to stop using drugs, and I would rationalize it, and now I know that none of it made sense. But you know, the greatest thing that has come out of all of this is that my kids now have a strong love of the Lord, and it was because I kind of forced them there. They didn't have anywhere else to turn to but God, and I know that their prayers are what delivered me from my addiction. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous. So in all that running from God, God kept showing up in my life. And, you know, I went to a church here locally and got, you know, loved on there. And whenever I really, like, was saved and was filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time, it was all-consuming, and it really kind of scared me. And it scared a lot of people around me, too. And the unfortunate thing about all that was that my spirit got quenched in there, because people just didn't know how to receive what God was trying to put out at that time. And so I relapsed shortly thereafter. And then, you know, I prayed. And the thing about it is God loves us even when we rebel and reaches out to us while we are fleeing from God. God reached out to me by way of a pregnancy, my little baby boy, Elijah. So on January 1st of 2013, I stopped using drugs. Shortly thereafter, I relapsed a lot because there was nothing here for me, okay? No love, no support, a lot of judgment. You have to understand that I was a professional when I left this community. I worked for the state of Missouri. I moved to Springfield, got very active in an opiate addiction there. And when I came back here, it was like coming back with your tail between your legs, because here I was still sick in addiction. And I didn't have love. I didn't have the love that I needed. And she's now my friend and my sister in Christ, Judith Thomas. When her son lost his life and I went to his service, I didn't know Judith very well, and spent a lot of time with her oldest boy, Jeremy, growing up. And I remember whispering in Judith's ear that we needed recovery here in the community. And I went home that evening, and I
had a hymnal at home that I had stuck Caleb's obituary inside of, and I didn't think a lot about it at the time. A couple months later, I was headed over to the health department for an appointment, and Judith lived over on Santa Fe Street at that time. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go stop by and visit Judith and just talk to her about what my ideas were about recovery here. And the Lord led me back to that hymnal. And I opened up that hymnal, and Caleb's obituary was resting on a page with a hymn titled, Resting Your Cares in the Arms of Jesus. It was something along those lines. And the scripture was Hebrews 13:5, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So God was asking me to do something really crazy, okay? And I'm crazy enough to do those crazy things. And so I showed up at Judith's door with this hymnal, and, you know, we were talking, and I finally said, Judith, I've got to tell you why I have this hymnal here with me. And so I told her the story, and after I was done telling it, she said, Misty, you know, I prayed this morning for God to let me know that Caleb was with him. Now, I didn't know that, but God knew that the very day that I went to that service and told Judith that we needed recovery here in the community. Now, the crazy thing about all this is that it is not crazy. It's a beautiful thing. Judith invited me. You know, God's pursuing me this whole time, and he knows I'm pregnant, and I've got to stay clean and sober because I want to give birth to a healthy baby, and I want to have a good life. I want to live the life that God wants me to live. Judith invited me to a book study at Reverend Linda Miller's house, and Sandy was there, and I believe Chris Thomas was there. And so we began meeting, and that was my recovery. My recovery was around this table that would later be called the gathering table. That was the love and support I needed. These women and this gentleman didn't know me, but they showed me unconditional love that God had for me. And so my recovery wouldn't be today if it weren't for Caleb. Caleb gave me recovery. Caleb breathed life into the gathering table, which now we have Mercy Road Recovery Center that we're working on opening, and we have the Carroll County Coalition that's working too, and the stigma associated with mental illness. The very pain that I was running from was the very pain that led me to know Christ. I wouldn't know this great love if it weren't for great loss. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. And he pursues us in such a way that it is awe-inspiring. It's just mind-boggling to me how I'm here today, how he made an addict employee of the year at CCMH and Chamber of Commerce, Community, whatever that award was, that I can't even think of the name of the award, was a person of the year. Things don't happen like that without God. You know, that it's crazy to me that an addict can be those things. And I'm just one of many addicts in our community. I had almost every addict I've met has a good heart. They have a flesh disease. And the struggle is so real within us. You know, our hearts want to do this thing. I mean, I can remember getting high and taking my Bible and going to people's house and smoking pot, having my Bible, trying to share God's word with people, okay? Because my heart was like wanting to be filled with him, but my flesh was still wanting the world to make it better, to make my flesh feel better. And finally, one day, I just stopped and let God love me. You know, I used to say, oh, I found Jesus. Well, Jesus was never lost. I was the one that was lost, okay? So whenever I just finally stopped and said, okay, Lord, I'm going to let you love me with all you got, it was like a love I've never felt before. And I don't have to use drugs and alcohol anymore to fill that emptiness inside of me, because God lives inside of me. Christ lives inside of me. He fills me each and every day. And there's a lot of people in our community that need to know that they're loved. And, you know, I know God's not really calling us to go to church. He's calling us to be the church. It's our job when you guys walk out these doors to be his love to other people. Just whether you know them or not, you may feel some sort of way about them. But I encourage you to do something bold and different that you haven't done when you're out and about, and to show those people love. Sandy Griffin's been wonderful about picking people up on the side of the road and bringing them to my house, or you know, that's what God's calling us to do. He's calling us to love others the way that we want to be loved. And if we were someone that was struggling and hurting, we would want someone to stop and show us that kind of love. I can't, it's just crazy how this morning we were reading, the responsive reading, God does not give up on us or forsake us, for God is the Holy One in our midst. And he doesn't give up on us or forsake us. He never gave up on me. Ever, ever, never, ever, ever. And I'm humbled, and just, it amazes me, again, for all the bad things. When you're acting in addiction, you do a lot of things that you can't reverse, you know, and a lot of people stay sick in their addiction because they can't get past their shame and guilt for the things that they've done. And but yet God still loves us. And it's our job to lead people to that love and be that love. I love you all so much. I have family here. Grew up with Verna Murphy out in the country. I remember spending lots of time at your house. I've got a teacher behind me that I got to go to Washington, D.C. with and spend a summer with. Spent a lot of time at Mr. Houseworth's house growing up. Lots of chili dinners over there, swimming in a pool. Lots of love in this room. We've just got to go out and be God's love. And I thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to come and share my story today. My story's not over yet. It's still being written, as is all your all's story. Amanda, I just want to thank you again for your courage last evening. Thank you so much. Judith, thank you. Thank you all so much.